www.letsfaceisshow.com.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
We do not believe in the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then the Apostle Paul said that our preaching is in vain, our living is in vain, and our faith is in vain.
That's right.
Why stand we here in jeopardy every hour if Christ be not raised from the dead?
Absolutely.
That's a powerful statement.
Mm-hmm.
Now, okay, if you don't believe that eternal life is real, if you don't believe in the resurrection of the dead, if you don't believe that Christ ever came, and you know, I have to question, I think they call them Orthodox Jews,
mm-hmm.
because some say the Messiah never came.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize that blindness is happening in part unto Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Mm-hmm. It's all the word of God. And I appreciate God for that,
that's
because
right.
that's where we get our opportunity.
Amen. We're grafted in.
Amen. So I thank God for that. Mm-hmm. And I hope and pray, and I believe, I mean, I'm knowing that the scripture said that God is, he's got a time set that he's going to deal with Israel again and bring them back into, you know, the plan of salvation. He has not ever put them out, but let's say maybe this has been a temporary way to set them aside until he accomplishes his work that he wants to do with us.
Mm-hmm.
But Christians need to know on today, if you don't believe in these very things that we're talking about on today, your faith is vain, Paul said, and your life right now, your very life right now is in jeopardy.
That's right.
Because the Word of God tells us everything that we need to know about eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said before in your explanation about where we're going to spend eternity, what will we do when we get there?
Mm-hmm.
Some of the things we need to know and understand first, let's get to know the basic principle before we start jumping into all these other conclusions.
Yes.
When I look at the scripture in Hebrews chapter 5, beginning at verse 12, the apostle Paul spoke out in these verses of scripture. He said, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe.
Mm-hmm.
But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil."
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a perfect explanation right there.
That's right.
Of where newborn babes in Christ are. And some people, I'm telling you, you'll be surprised at some that's been in the way for 30 and 40 years are still asking the basic question, Dr. Youngblood, that they should have already had the answers to.
If they've been in the Word.
Amen. Mm-hmm. But that's, again, that's key.
That's right.
Because we need to know, we have been commanded to study to show ourselves approved, a workman unto God. We need to show God that we know his word.
That's right.
And then after we come to the knowledge of the truth, we are to act upon it or live it out.
Yes.
That's the only way that the word is going to become real when we respond to it in faith. It's all done by faith.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The scriptures say we walk by faith and not by sight.
Yes.
But the world tells us to show it to me first, and then I'll believe it.
Mm-hmm.
But God said, believe it first, and then I'll show it to you.
Amen. It's a reverse.
So, if we do these things in that order, because this is the way that God ordered it for the church,
mm-hmm.
then we'll be able to see the handworks of God, and we'll be able to experience this, and then we'll have something to pass on to the next generation.
Amen.
Because when we look at Hebrews chapter 11, the entire chapter is the faith chapter. We call it the Hall of Faith.
Right.
All of these things that these people live by and live through, some, Dr. Youngblood, didn't receive the promise, but they died in faith, believing that it was going to come to pass.
Believing it, absolutely.
But they did this by faith. Right. So now, listen. It said, by faith, the elders obtained a good report.
Mm-hmm.
We can obtain the same good report, but we have got to do it by faith.
Absolutely.
So if we trust the word of God, if we believe in the word of God, just like it's written in the word, in the Bible, the inerrant word of God, then eternal life will become more real to us every day.
Yes, and the scripture says, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by, that's a little Greek word, dia, through the word of God.
Amen, and so, if we know this prize is at the end.
That's right.
This is what it's all about.
That's right.
We'll keep working diligently.
Amen.
That's what it's all about.
Well,
amen.
Pastor, let me ask you a question. There are a lot of people that think that you can. Can a person, once he's been saved, born again, can that person lose his salvation?
Now, you know, I've heard that so many times,
mm-hmm.
but I have to wonder, what kind of power do you think God has?
That's right. Talk about that.
We say it out of our
mm-hmm.
mouths.
Mm-hmm.
We say that we serve God Almighty.
Mm-hmm.
The scripture lets us know that he is just that. He's omnipotent.
Mm-hmm.
That means all powerful.
Amen.
But the scripture also lets us know, even Jesus said, that no man can pluck us out of the Father. They can't. Well, first, he said, out of his hand.
That's right.
But then he turned around and said, my Father is greater than I.
Mm-hmm.
So no man definitely will not be able to pluck them out of his hand.
John 10:28. Yeah.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So now, if we know this now, again, we have to bank on this
mm-hmm.
because the Lord said this. Now, I don't know about many, but in my Bible, the words written in red are considered to be the words of Christ.
Right.
And if that's what's in your Bible, and you say that that's the words of Christ, and that's what he spoke to you, what's so hard for us? I mean, why is it so hard for us to believe that?
That's right. One of the things that I believe is taking place, there are people that think they've gotten saved because they've joined a church. They've tried to turn over a new leaf, but they've never been blood-bought, Bible-saved, born again. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, when a person is saved, old things have passed away, and behold, all things are become new.
Amen.
So if a person says he's saved and all things have not become new, need to check up and see if you've been saved. But there's no such thing as being saved today, lost tomorrow, saved day, lost tomorrow, saved day, lost tomorrow. If you can be saved and sin and be lost again, how many sins does it take to be lost again? What type sins does it take to make you lost again? If Jesus Christ shed blood on the cross, covers our sins, when we say yes to him as Savior, does that mean he's got to die on the cross again, shed his blood again, for us to have to shed blood to cover our sins again? What does it mean? So, ladies and gentlemen, the point that I'm making in my dialogue and discussion with Pastor Davis is the fact that once a person has truly been born again, there's no such thing as being lost again. But Pastor, there's another question that I think in this era in which we're living becomes real, relevant, and necessary to understand. And we'll spend a little time on this. There are those today, and perhaps you're listening, fall into that category. Love to hear from you. Can a person that's a homosexual be a saved person? Let's couch it this way. Is homosexuality a sin? If homosexuality is a sin, can a homosexual get saved? Yes. How does he get saved? He's got to repent of his sin. Repent means to turn and to go in an opposite direction and be obedient to the word of God. It is very, very clear, ladies and gentlemen, a homosexual cannot go to heaven. Pastor Amen. Davis, read for our edification what is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10 and 11.
Amen. Amen. The scripture says, listen, verse number 9, know ye not that the unrighteous, when we look at anything connected with unrighteousness, mm-hmm. that's sin.
That's right.
Amen. Shall not, you see the scripture speaking clearly, inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. You see how the Bible warns us over and over, and that's the biggest part that we have problems getting past?
It's deception.
That's right. Amen. He said, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. Mm-hmm. Effeminate. Mm-hmm. This is not Dr. Youngblood's word. This is not Brother Davis' word. This is God's word.
That's right.
Effeminate means those who are LGBTQ. And again, we're not trying to beat anybody across the head. We pray that God deliver them and save them.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. But he said, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Abusers of themselves with mankind. Two men with each other, or two women with each other, that's abusing themselves with mankind.
Right.
Because the scripture said that the woman was made for the man. God put us together, and he said, what God has joined together, let not man put asunder.
Right.
So, abusers of themselves with mankind, the scripture is speaking plain and clear to this.
Mm-hmm.
They will not inherit, and I teach this a lot at my church, anywhere you see will, God will, or God shall, mm-hmm. that's a promise.
Right.
So he's saying will not, that's a promise that they will not go.
Right.
They will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Right.
So, let us not be deceived. So many times, we're willing to compromise, but that's one of the biggest enemies of the church, too. We have compromised. We have let things go the same way for so long. We're so used to life, as we call it, in the norm,
mm-hmm.
until we just let anything go.
We have gotten to the point of embracing sin.
Amen.
Rather than calling it sin, rather than letting the word of God speak.
Amen.
The question that's been asked so many times is that very question. In fact, we have so many today in the sodomite lifestyle, the LGBTQ lifestyle, and most denominations in some fashion have embraced that. So the mindset generally is that God loves us, God loves us regardless of what we do, and therefore we're okay.
Amen. But look at what the flip side now. Let's read just that one more.
Yes.
Verse number 11.
Yes.
The flip side of everything we just got finished saying.
Yes.
Verse number 11, Paul said, and such were some of you. Why?
Past tense.
Amen. Why? He said, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Listen, there is a need for the Holy Ghost. There are many times. I heard my wife preach a message on that one time. There is a need for the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is there to lead you, guide you, comfort you, and keep you, and bring all things back to your remembrance, whatsoever the Lord Jesus have said in his word. So if we are constantly reminded by the Spirit and being kept by the Spirit, then understand, we won't go that way. So someone asked me this, same thing you just got finished asking. Can a Christian be a homosexual?
No.
Not a devoted Christian.
Right.
Some are calling themselves Christians, but they have deceived themselves into thinking that Christianity is something that it's not.
That's right.
So let's not get ourselves in that way.
One of the texts also, Pastor Davis, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Know this, that the law is not made for the righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient. For
Amen.
The ungodly,
Amen.
For sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers, murders of mothers, for manslayers. Verse 10, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, it's talking about homosexuals, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. It is very, very clear in the scripture, ladies and gentlemen, and I don't want to dwell on that, but simply point out that if a person says, I'm a homosexual, I'm part of the LGBTQ, but I love Jesus, I go to church, I'm saved, and I'm going to heaven, that's a devil's demonic lie.
Amen.
That
Amen.
Is not so. If a person gets saved, all things are passed away. Oh, behold, all things have become new. As Pastor Davis just read, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, the Apostle Paul, after listing the 10 things, the 10 sins, the 10 types of sinners that would not go to heaven, he says, but such were some of you.
Amen.
That should be past tense. Such were past tense, some of you. But he says, you've been washed, you've been cleansed, you've been saved, you've been justified. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what is necessary. But that question is being asked today, is homosexuality a sin? Yes, it is. Can a homosexual go to heaven? If he continues that practice without repenting and saying yes to Jesus, he will die and go to a devil's hell. I believe we have Tom on the line. Tom, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood, I'm listening very intently to your topic, and I want to ask you, can a homosexual cross-dresser go down to the library and entice young children to embrace the homosexual lifestyle and not go to hell?
It's an impossibility. That mindset is recruiting. By the way, you touched on a subject that is very prolific today and yet not recognized, rejected, and considered what it is from the average Christian, the average denomination today. A person that's willing to go and cross-dress, a person that's willing to do lewd things before young kids, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years of age, that is recruitment, that is sexualization of our kids, and ought to be considered child abuse and not applauded and allowed by officials in our schools and our libraries, by our cities and our states, and yes, even our nation. Absolutely. It is sin. It is wrong. It is evil. It is wicked. It is demonic, and not anything that will be considered to be embraced by biblical Christianity.
Yes, I agree. Do you think there's a special devil's hell for those type of people? Because remember, Christ talked about it would be better a millstone tied around your neck than somebody that harmed a child. Do you
Absolutely.
Think there's a special devil's hell for them?
Well, let me put it this way. Just as you find for Christians, there are different rewards, awards, crowns is spoken of. I believe there's five or six crowns. I don't recall right offhand now the number. Crowns, rewards for the Christians, and it's based on what the Christians will do after salvation in serving the Lord. So also, I believe we can take that on the basis and understand there are different degrees of punishment. There's not a scripture that says, let me outline the different degrees of punishment, but I believe there are different degrees of punishment based on what that person does that's lost, that's in the cases you're speaking of, trying to lure small kids into the sodomite lifestyle. I believe there is a special degree of punishment in hell for that. And I believe that that is, as you said, it's better that person have a millstone put around his neck, cast into the deepest sea, than to offend or to cause to stumble and fall one of these little ones. And it's talking about the children. And yet that is being done on a prolific scale in America today.
Well, Dr. Englert, thank you so much for the truth.
Well, thank you so much for your call, for your encouragement. Thank you for your continued financial support and prayers. I pray that God will, you've heard me say before, may your tribe increase. Thank you so much for your call. God bless you. I believe we have Alan on the line. Alan, go over the question and comment, please.
Hey, Dr. Englert, how you doing?
Great. I pray you are.
I am, sir. So I just wanted to make a couple of comments. I'm also a Christian. Like you were talking about, when a person becomes a Christian, they have a life change. Let me tell you, like, I was an addict for 27 years. I lived to get high. I did everything. That was my God. That is what I worshiped. But when I gave my life to Christ, he took that away from me.
Hey, amen.
And it was just gone. It was like I was so overcome with this feeling of love and joy. I couldn't even begin to explain it. But I saw this silhouette get up from me and leave, and it was incredible. And from that day on, never again did I ever have another taste. For it took the taste out of my mouth. And that's when somebody says, well, I'm a Christian. I mean, I believe that the purpose of the rapture is to separate true Christians from those who just believe in God in the traditional sense and form. When you go up to someone and say, do you believe in God? Oh, yeah, I believe in God. Okay. Do you believe in Jesus? You know, and if they, you know, say, oh, no, I don't really know, then that would be a person who is believes in God in the traditional sense. And
yes.
He says God will spit them out of their mouth, out of his mouth. And the five crowns, you were talking about the crowns. I believe that they are the five crowns of heaven. I think there is the crown of life, the crown of righteousness,
yes.
The crown of salvation,
yes.
The crown of glory, and then the crown of rejoicing.
Yes.
And then I don't know if when we get to heaven, I mean, I don't know about you, but there's going to be millions of people there. I'm going to run to the front and try to wrap my arms around Christ and say, thank you, thank you, thank you for saving me.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
That's a good praise. Praise hallelujah testimony.
Good testimony.
I am thankful for that, Alan. Thank you so much for your call and for your input. And I am thankful for your life, for your testimony.
Let me ask you, I have one more question to ask.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Question real quick. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was arguing with a friend of mine, a Christian friend of mine, about ghosts. And they were saying, there's ghosts of dead people. And I'm like, no, that's not biblical. Because in the Bible it says to be absent from the body is to be present to be in the presence of the Lord, right?
You there,
Dr. Youngblood? Hello.
Yes, I hear you. Go ahead.
I was arguing with a Christian friend of mine about ghosts, and they said that she was like, you know, she's seen them. I've seen them, but I kept trying to tell her that they're demonic. They belong to the world of deception. Because in the Bible, does it not say to be absent from the body is to be at home with the Lord?
Absolutely. So, Alan, simply put, Satan masquerades as an angel of light. We need to be very, very careful with what an individual says, I see or I've seen. There's no indication in the Scripture that ghosts appear and come and that we can have that communication with them. There is a whole host of evidence in the Scripture that demons can come and masquerade and that there will be that deception that a person would follow after not realizing that it is not anything that would be called spiritual, godly, or holiness. We need to understand that. In fact, one of the things that is a whole teaching in and of itself all of the fallen angels, a third of the angelic host, followed Satan, Lucifer, when he was kicked out of heaven, and those make up the demons in the world today. Those demons are actively involved in the world. We can't see them, we can't touch them, but they're present any place we are, any place we go. Just as the good angels, angelic beings, are present, guiding, in some cases guarding, protecting the child of God, the demonic angels, the fallen angels, the demons are present. And so I think we need to, people need to understand that you can't say that I saw a ghost and the ghost told me this, that, or the other. That's simply an unbiblical statement. And you're exactly right in your discussion with that individual, Alan. Thank you.
Okay. For your, thank you so much for your stand. I appreciate you guys.
Thank you so much. God bless you. Have a blessed day. Pastor Davis, it is interesting the things that people ask. What does the mark of the beast mean? I've heard people ask. Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 through 18. The mark, the identifier. What does the mark of the beast mean? Just as in Revelation chapter 7, Revelation chapter 14, it says that the 144,000 virgin male Jewish evangelists that will be preaching the everlasting gospel during the days of the tribulation, they are sealed by God himself. That seal means they cannot be harmed, hurt, put to death until God finishes their work. So also that individual that is sold out and surrendered to Satan will have that mark, that one that takes the mark, the identifier. Now, we could go into a whole lots of discussion about what is the mark. It's the mark in the hand of the head. It back a number of years ago, people thought that the barcode, when that first came out, that, that was the mark of the beast. We don't know what that mark will be like. I believe it will be some type embedded chip that will be there to identify, but it will be where the person voluntarily accepts that so he can identify with the main poobah, if you will. He can identify with the Antichrist and be able to get food, clothing, and shelter because he has the mark. So many people say, well, it says 666. What is the 666? It's the man-centered man. It is simply talking about the epitome of humanism that will be the identifier of that day. Pastor, some teach that when Jesus, this is one that would take 2 hours to delve into, but let's finish with this today. Some people say teach that when Jesus died on the cross, was buried, that he went to hell and he preached the gospel, giving those in hell a second chance. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's simply not so. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 9 through 10, it is simply speaking of the grave. It's not talking about that place called Tartarus, which is fire and brimstone. In fact, Sheol in Hades is many times referring to as hell in the King James text, but it's talking about the grave. Jesus died, he was buried, he rose again on the third day, but that thief on the cross in the Gospels, when it was in Luke 23, verse 43, he told the thief on the cross, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. And so simply cutting through the chase says that Jesus did not die and go to hell and preach the gospel, giving those in hell a second chance. That is simply unbiblical. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today on this broadcast. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University. 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students.